My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt. He represents the Old Dominion's 7th Congressional District and is the author of the new book, American Underdog, Proof That Principles Matter. Congressman Bratt is best known for pulling off one of the biggest upsets in American political history when he stunned House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in the GOP primary 2 years ago. Now there is some controversy brewing over Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's refusal to publicly endorse House Speaker Paul Ryan in his primary next week against challenger Paul Nehlen. Is Speaker Ryan in any political danger? And what are the similarities and differences between that race and Bratt's defeat of Cantor 2 years ago? And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hey, great to be on, Greg. Thank you very much.
Some conservatives, particularly those who aren't big fans of Speaker Ryan, see some very similar conditions in this Wisconsin primary as you encountered in 2014, including accusations of a GOP leader who has lost touch with his district, who could be doing a whole lot better on border security and immigration reform in general, as well as the fact that there's an open primary there. So do you see a lot of parallels, or is that a bit of an exaggeration?
I don't think it's as wide as when I ran, but there's a few issues right on the getting back home thing. I think Paul does a pretty good job. He's known for being up in the in the hunting stand and getting back with the family in the weekend and that kind of thing. But on some of the policy issues, I mean, the whole Trump phenomenon is related to about 20 years of Democrats and Republicans' failure to solve the fiscal matters, and we've racked up $19 trillion in debt and $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We've got major foreign policy challenges with ISIS, and then the major deal, right? Iran, I just backed illegal immigration. Now it's morphed into the refugee crises. We had terrible reports of infiltration into the Washington D.C. police force yesterday, and so we're beyond the talking points. The newspapers are full of hard data. And our leadership on the Republican side hasn't hardly done anything on that. Last year on immigration, we had the Brian Babin bill. We all asked for that to be put in play. And leadership ignored that. And in the omnibus, they not only skipped all the immigration moves, instead they increased the H-2B visas by 400%. So that's a diametric move in the wrong direction. When Americans do have real concerns, and they know we have big problems. And so, the folks need to ask them. I don't get in the endorsement business. I don't endorse the federal, state, or local anything because I don't like elites picking winners. I want the people to pick winners on their own. I don't want to get in the middle of any election, but the facts are the facts on certain policies, and we have to be more responsive to the American people, especially on that immigration issue.
How would you describe both either similarities or differences between Paul Ryan and Eric Cantor? Obviously, Eric Cantor had spent a lot more time in leadership at the time that you faced off with him than Paul Ryan spent as speaker. It's only been several months. But in terms of how they relate to their members, particularly ones who disagree with them, and their general approach to some of the principles that I know you care most about and talk about in your book, how do you compare the two?
Well, I don't really have a good means of comparison from leadership because I wasn't in when Eric was in. But in terms of Paul has been very good on the floor. He's very approachable. And that's the good news. But the bad news is, 40 of us in the House Freedom Caucus this year, we met. He's very approachable. We tried to save $30 billion out of $535 billion deficit this year alone. And we couldn't make any headway, right? I mean, so we're called the right wingers and the knuckle draggers and whatever. Trying to save $30 billion, right? That's a teaspoonful of fiscal savings. And so the leadership in general is for some reason, and no one can figure it out, but they're just not responsive when it comes to the debt and deficit issues. The entitlements are insolvent in about 10 to 15 years. The kids won't have them if we don't solve it. And then foreign policy, what's the Republican talking point? We're at war, right? Tim Kaine, he's senator from my state of Virginia, up in the VP ranks right now. He's asked for an AUMF, an authorization for use of military force. So the Democrats acknowledge and admit we're at war. We own the House and the Senate. What are our talking points? And usually it's crickets, right? The American people know we have major concerns right now. The Muslim Brotherhood is wreaking havoc all around the world with ISIS and infiltrating the U.S. London yesterday had another terrible event happen, and ISIS said it's London, and then New York is next. And they cited the Statue of Liberty in particular. they're telling us exactly what's coming again, and we're not ready to go. And so leadership is under a challenge right now from the American people. Outsiders voted 80%, you know, for the Republican presidential candidate, and same on the Democrat side. Bernie got about 50%, and then everyone agrees the system is rigged. And you saw there the DNC got caught red-handed rigging the entire election against a prominent candidate who had the momentum on his side. And so the American people think the system is rigged, the finances are rigged, the taxes are rigged, the IRS is rigged. And when you got Trump and Dave Brat and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders all saying the same problem, I think that's the problem. And then the solution is, do you go free market or do you do more federal government? And right now, I hope the answer is clear to the average American on that one. We got to get back to the fundamentals.
Congressman, what's your take on the challenger in this race, Paul Neyland? It seems to me from the coverage that I've seen that he's taking a much stronger populist approach than you did, whereas you focused to some extent on a populist message, but also very much on conservative principles. What's your read on that?
Yeah, and I don't know what the polling is over there. I haven't been following it closely, but obviously I read the headlines and I see it every day. And so it looks like there's going to be a race there. And you know, back when I was running, the populist thing was still, you know, nascent. I guess I was kind of the, you know, canary in the coal mine or whatever early on. The people were there, and then my 7th district is just phenomenal that way. We stick to our principles, and so they don't have to be divorced, right? There's a populist urge for us to execute on what we run on. Republicans are great on running, right? I ran on these 6 Republican principles in the Republican Creed: free markets, equal treatment for all people under the law, fiscal responsibility. And there's a populist surge because people know we're not being honest. We're not following through on these promises. We're going to get rid of Obamacare, we all say, and then we really don't fight. And then I came in 2 years ago, and Obama did the unconstitutional amnesty. And Boehner said, we're going to fight, like, you know, fight tooth and nail and whatever. And we didn't fight. And so over and over and over, the small business guy right now, I'm at home meeting constituents now for the last couple of weeks. And I got horror stories about the Department of Labor. The overtime rule is putting people out of business. The fiduciary rule is clobbering people. And these are just major issues that our leadership needs to fight on. And the American people don't think we're fighting.
One big difference in this race is obviously that Paul Ryan sees the challenge. And obviously Eric Cantor knew you were challenging him. But it's pretty clear he was pretty shocked at the results, and his pollsters were nowhere near accurate going into that race. How big of a boost was that for you that Eric Cantor kind of took that race for granted and then got the shock of his life?
Yeah, well, there were a couple big pieces, and that's the one you just noted. McLaughlin is one of the leading pollsters, I guess, in the country, and they had him up by 30, and I ended up winning by 10. And then the same thing this year on the Trump phenomenon. All the experts, turns out, aren't too much of experts on anything. They own the microphones, I guess, but that's about it. So they've been, you know, wrong on everything. We keep listening to the chattering class up in D.C. And then the second, you know, fundamental difference, it goes in tandem with what you were just saying, is my opponent spent $5 million up against me and gave me name ID. And so, you know, that was helpful. They were actually kind of some funny ads who made a caricature of me, called me a liberal professor. So everyone got kind of a kick at that, and they knew me in the region. I'm a free market Milton Friedman economist for 20 years in the area, and I worked downtown, volunteered for the head of Senate Finance for 7 years just for fun. And so folks knew it wasn't true. Then they started scratching their head and say, what's going on here? And then they dug in a little deeper, and things ended up going my way.
Let's close with one of the things I mentioned in the introduction, and that's you're the author of the new book, American Underdog: Proof That Principles Matter. Regardless of how this Wisconsin primary turns out, if Neyland pulls the massive upset or Paul Ryan narrowly or even easily hangs on to this nomination for the GOP, what do you hope is the takeaway for the winner, not only in this race, but around the country?
Yeah, well, and so, you know, Paul Ryan is big on all my free market guys, right? And so on the principles, Paul and I are very similar. He likes Hayek and von Mises and Milton Friedman and is a policy wonk. I taught economics for 20 years. And so the challenge for our side is is to do better and follow our rhetoric and put it into policy. But it, we have differences of views on our side, but they pale in comparison. And so the book pretty much draws a stark comparison between the left and then what we're trying to do. And so people say, hey, where are you at on Donald Trump and his principles, et cetera? And I say, well, in my book, I said the three things that have made us great over the centuries, right, as a Western civ and then the last couple hundred years here is the Judeo-Christian tradition, which then led into the rule of law and James Madison and Jefferson out of my area, and then Adam Smith, free markets across the pond, another, you know, philosopher of moral philosopher. And those three pillars made us great, and Trump is affirmative on all three of those. And the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie, and the hard left are diametrically opposed, right? They're an assault on the Judeo-Christian tradition. In higher ed, you can see it particularly. They're an assault on the rule of law right now, right? Almost mocking our police and sheriffs instead of celebrating them. And then free markets, Washington, D.C. in general doesn't appear to know what free markets are, right? It's the center of crony capitalism and lawyers and paying to get your way instead of providing a level playing field so the small guy can compete. And so I tried to lay that out in the book. I try to show very clearly that power has been stripped away from the American people. And so wages have been flat for 30 years. The average American has had about a $4,000 pay cut over the past 7 or 8 years. And so if you want to get back on the positive pro-growth agenda that made this country great, I think it's clear which way you got to vote coming up in November.
Congressman, we'll leave it at that. And we look forward to the next time. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on, Greg. Awesome.
Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents the Commonwealth's 7th Congressional District. He is also the author of American Underdog, Proof That Principles Matter. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.